Rachel Daniels. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming to the Netherlands. It was wonderful. When I got your email that said you were coming, I said, you have to stay with us. And I have to tell you, it's been a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm so blessed that you came.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. I feel like everything that I was looking to accomplish, which was real life connections, which was face to face, which was hugs, which was planting the seeds for a sort of next stage of development, it all happened, and I can't thank you enough.
So first we should say you came to attend an event done by Black Box in Amsterdam and gave a wonderful speech, which we're hoping by the time this publishes will be available. But you should just mention how the connection with Black Box got created.
Right, so 2 years ago, this month actually, but there was a whole lead up with a audio clip of mine that went really, by the grace of God, around the world.
Best rant ever.
Thank you. It was really something that it could only have been God's hand in it. Right. The phone was going off the hook, and I happened to pick up one phone call, which she quickly became a very dear friend, and she connected me to Flavio. And Flavio and I did an interview together that also really just was a very powerful, and I have actually felt deeply connected to the Dutch ever since, because they received me then, and they received me again here 2 years later.
Yeah.
It was an awesome experience of coming together.
Well, when we publish this, and you're going to publish it because you do the Jerusalem Report on CHDTV, yeah, who's very excited about the sort of new variation of the Jerusalem Report, but then I'll publish it on Soleri. So hopefully we'll have the link to the speech. And I just finished watching it. It was great.
Thank you.
We'll put it up.
Thanks.
Anyway, so we've had quite a time because we're just talking.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to share today some of the things we've been talking about.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start with the field and the importance. One of the things you said in your speech, but I've heard you say it while we're together, is we need to create a network of leaders.
Yes.
Working together. And but that starts... I have this dear colleague I work with who says, oh, you Americans, you always just want to take action before you build the field, before you establish the relationships.
Yeah.
And so you're very clear about the importance of creating those connections and relationships before you can do anything.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the field and why it's so important we create these connections.
I mean, I think that is actually something that I said in the speech. I think that the most human expression is empathy. And I think that once we come together, I think that it's just, for me, it's just absolutely natural. It's how I've operated always, which is first, I'm looking to connect with you. First, because all relationships are built on trust. If you don't have trust, you don't have relationship.
Right, but they're all created one by one.
Right.
And one person
connects
with one person and builds that relationship in a way that has integrity.
Yes.
I have this wonderful discussion I did with Ora Conniger called Control and Freedom Happen One Person at a Time. And it's the same. Control and freedom happen one person at a time. The organization to make sure that we are free connects. It's one person at a time. We have to connect with that level of integrity.
Yeah.
And I think many of us were trained in a way or brought up in a way that... we don't take the time to do that. You know, we try and run the actions before the train tracks or the relationships are there to do it. But the other thing is, we were talking about this, we are encouraged to think in terms of blobs. You're in this blob,
yes.
I'm in this blob, you know,
yes.
And not think of ourselves as individuals individually responsible for our own actions.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it's exactly what we're talking about, which I scream from the rooftops. Like, that's nice that we have a whole description of all the things that we connect to. But I'm responsible for me.
Right.
You're like, we are two humans coming together, and I can't represent an entire group. I don't represent all women, all Jews, all like I'm just doing the best at being me, and that's a lifetime process, you know? And I think that I think that that's exactly key. It's interesting that you say that, because I think that people are rushing ahead trying to get somewhere, but it's just like the old fashioned eat well and exercise. Like it's the answers are the same. You know, the grassroots movement. There's nothing. You know, you may have an ad in the Yellow Pages, right? When we had Yellow Pages, but the word to word recommendation, the mouth to mouth, like nothing replaces that. Nothing will ever replace human contact. Right. That's what the lockdowns taught us, right?
Right.
We're herd animals. Yeah.
Right.
And we live for it today. I got an airplane and came because I know that there's at some point Zoom. It's a nice technology, but nothing will ever. And so there was a relationship. I knew that how much I appreciated having you as a teacher, you know. But there's, you know, but then you still go back and you still shake hands and hi, here I am, you know.
Right.
Yeah. There's just a system in place in how humans work. And you can put all the technology in the world, but it doesn't change them.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. So, of course, I had to tell you my story of Gideon. Of course, we have Gideon.
Yes. Gideon. You might have to ship me one of these as well. Everybody.
Want one?
Maybe.
I'll ship you one.
Maybe.
You just let me know when you're ready, and I'll ship one down to you. And it was, I told you we had a funny subscriber because I gave Thomas Meyer recorded the story of Gideon with me. And so I sent him one, just I thought he'd like it. So he put it up in his living room, and Robert was down in Switzerland filming them. And it just happened to be in the background. So the subscriber wrote in it. What is this? Is this like a conspiracy?
No, but that's okay. So everybody who's part of the 300 gets one, maybe.
Right. Yeah. So the story of Gideon, one of the reasons I love it is it talks about, you know, taking the time. You don't need a lot of people, but you need people who, in connection with each other, individually and in connection, are in integrity.
Yes.
And what that means. And so the angel in the story puts, and if anybody's interested, if you're interested, go listen to the interview I did with Thomas Meyer, because he does a great job. He was one of the first people who really understood the power of this story. And anyway, and so he really dug in and discovered a whole world about it that I hadn't known. Anyway, so it was a great conversation. But Gideon puts his army through two tests. And one test is they have to prove that they're faithful. And it always reminds me, I had a partner on Wall Street who used to say, before you do the deal, get everybody together and send the scared guys home.
Right.
And so Gideon sends the scared guys home. And then the second test is, are they competent? It's called the river test. And there's a couple of fabulous paintings about the river test that I love that are in our the Visions of Freedom wrap-up. You'll see the whole section on the art around Gideon. But that's really, are they competent?
Yeah.
And the moral of the story of Gideon is you don't need a lot of people.
Right.
But you have to have people who are faithful and not afraid, and you have to have people who are competent. And so each one of us is responsible to do that and be that, to protect. The whole field depends on each one of us trying to meet that standard. And I'm constantly getting into these different debates with people about, do we need millions or do we just need everybody at a level where they can, because what the angel is saying, I can't work through a field unless it meets the standard.
But it would make perfect sense, because what does everybody talk about? The 1%, the elite, this untouchable super few. So why not?
Right.
Comparatively, that would take an integrity, a group of people with, you know, real faith and real integrity to see us through the other way.
Right.
I mean, it works. That's how the universe works. There's always an equal and opposite.
Right.
If there's evil, there is tremendous evil. There is tremendous good.
Right.
It's still here.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. This is going to seem like a strange comparison, but when I was on Wall Street, everything, we didn't have email. We had pencils. You know, we had pencils and landlines. But everybody was trained to operate with great precision at very high speed. And if you said 9 7/8, that was it. It was gospel. And so on both tests, you had to be seasoned and to be vetted to be in the group. And literally, you would see hundreds of people working together, swinging around hundreds of billions of dollars at unbelievably high speed, because there was such a high filter of integrity for the purpose that they were taking. We can do that.
Yeah.
There's no, and you don't need contracts. You don't, there were never, everything was racing way ahead of the paper trail, yeah. You know, but it was all word of mouth. But they were, to use the word we've been discussing, they were, everybody was agreement capable. And of course, we know we're dealing with a leadership now in many of the formal, the old institutions who are not agreement capable.
Right.
It's driving us all crazy.
Right.
Right. So anyway, but anything else about?
Well, I think that that's really key, because I think that, you know, we started off in the early COVID. I mean, I think a lot of people came from their perspectives. They understood there was corruption in this section of the world,
right.
That section. And then so what happened with early COVID was tearing down those walls. Oh, wow. Whoa. It's all a massive web. So then there was a feeling of empowerment through the pain. So then at some point, things have, the psyops and the lies and, you know, half-truths and all that has become such a real blob, you know, like a complete conglomerate, that you can't, you know, you've just got to hold on with both hands for the things that are, you know, unadulterated truths, God, nature, children, family,
right.
You know, these things that we know for sure. So what I feel has happened is you have so much fragmentation between us because people want a quick fix or an easy answer to who is behind it, to what's, you know, what's the answer. But I feel like that's already psyops within it, because that's kept us just completely scattered, our energies in fighting. And I really believe that it's time to pick a plan and see it through. And I think that instead of rushing after ones that, I mean, we all want to see justice.
Right.
You know, God's version of justice. You know, but it's time, I think, really to step out from under the dark cloud, you know, that there, it's like that every cartoon, you know, it's just raining under us,
right.
You know, step out and let's move forward. I think
right.
we can be cohesive.
Right.
And that's got to happen. We could take that chance to be cohesive.
So I made a strategy chart, because what I saw, and it's a quadrant with two rows and two columns, and one column is health and one column is money. So I've been working with a group of really fabulous health groups like Doctors for COVID Ethics. But of course, they're in the health side.
Right.
And I'm in the money side. And what we've been trying step by step, event by event, is to try and get a common picture of what's going on. Because, as you know, my focus is let's stop the control grid. Because
right.
I think these guys are going to use digital technology to get total control. And that's what I want to stop. And to me, a lot of what they're doing in the health area is simply to get the control they want in the financial area. If the central banks and the banks had to do all of the control steps that the health has been doing, you know, we'd go after them with pitchforks.
Right.
So they're hiding behind, you know, the WHO skirts. They're hiding behind the health officer's skirts. I used to say Fauci was deflation to go. You know, the central bankers call him up and say, okay, we need more deflation, Anthony. Shut down more small business, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, so we've used this healthcare infrastructure to engineer tremendous amounts of control that serve that ultimate total control. And I don't think they want to control the money. I think they just want to control everything.
Yes.
All the people, all the real assets. You know, so it's a control grid. It's not just a money system.
100%.
Right. And so you have healthcare and you have finance. And part of it is the financial people and the healthcare people have been trying to get an integrated picture where we can rock and roll together. And that's
right.
now happening. That's
right.
really great.
Right.
The other, though, is the two rows. One, and I'll put this up with the interview. One is offense and the other is defense. And what we have to do, and this is what I think you're saying, is not get bogged down on the defense.
Yes.
That's
exactly.
where they pull all the divide and conquer
exactly.
tactics, and that's where they have us going after the chew toys. And again, I do want accountability,
yes.
but I don't want to be like a dog who's pacified with a chew toy
yeah.
while they're locking down total control.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
So, right.
And I really think that instead of arguing forever about which one we should go after and doing absolutely nothing, I feel like I've kind of you know, I came so, I'm from that health freedom community, and I've really greatly expanded my perspective on how large this is. And I think that so many people are, it's like we've said before, money is unapproachable, it's too complex, it's for the accountant, I'm not interested in it. But like what you really got through my head was that money is where all of life's transactions, it's the most human thing. It's where all of life's transactions take place, and you can learn so much about it.
Well, you build your future with transactions. Transactions are just deals, and they don't have to be financial. You and I can make a deal to meet for lunch tomorrow at 4. But, you know, I grew up in a world where conspiracies were wonderful. They were delicious. They were joyous. They were, you got a group of people together, you made a plan, and then you went out and implemented, and you kept your mouth shut, you know, and just, and you created this little field. It was field creation is really what they were. But it was all about transacting your way to the future.
Yeah.
And if you look at the top people, when I used to work in Wall Street or Washington, the way they create the world is they say, okay, we want to go to Rome. Okay, well, how do we set up the financial incentive so everybody will go to Rome? You know, and then we, the general population, pull them to Rome because we're all following the little Petris.
Right.
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 Easy. So that's why, you know, we have to play that game. Now we have to start making the plans, creating the transactions.
Yes.
And transactions is time, transactions is money, and other kinds of resources. But we will transact our way into freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that what I understood was, so it's like, it's just a house that money, the whole control grid that you're talking about, CBDCs, to my, you know, rudimentary understanding, that's the front door. So everything happens, all the health, all the children, everything happens inside the house, but this is the door, and either it's open or it's locked shut. So I feel like it's crucial to take steps because, you know, you've been talking for ages about using cash.
Right.
So tangible steps that everybody should really just focus on.
Yes.
You know, not passing the next scary article around to your friend, but let's just decide instantly. Right. That is something, there's not a single person who doesn't have the capability to sit down and make a plan of how to do that.
Right.
But beyond that, Catherine, I don't know, or that is it. Is it just as simple as using cash and making a plan around just, but how else do we keep that door open?
Right. So there, we have an article called, I Want to Stop CBDCs, What Can I Do? Because we can each stop, and we have this great interview I told you about, Freedom and Control Happen One Person at a Time.
Yeah.
So they've been building the corral, the digital concentration corral around us. And CBDCs or different aspects of financial control plus digital IDs is sort of the last. Yeah. You know, it's the gate that closes in and snaps the whole thing into place. Each one of us with ourselves and our family can walk out of that corral right now. So the more we walk out and not let technology do complete surveillance on us or control us or entrain us or anything we can do to protect ourselves and use technology judiciously, we walk out of the control grid. The first part you have to get out of the control grid is your mind. You know, get out. Anyway, so we have scores of articles, and I'll put up links. I would go through, I Want to Stop CBDCs, What Can I Do? And I'd go through Control and Freedom Happen One Person at a Time. The most important thing is to understand I'm unique. You're unique. Each one of us is unique. So there's no, the way I get out of the control grid, given my circumstances, is different the way you get out of the control grid. And the most important thing is how I sequence getting out is different than how you sequence getting out, because your circumstances are different, your jurisdiction is different, your talents and skills are different. And so it's very important. I always encourage everybody to do a time budget. Sit down, look at where your time is going, and say, where can I break 2 hours a week to start to use cash or do this or do that? And you know, take it one 2 hour budget or four, whatever you have, take it, but do it in a way that gives you energy.
Yeah.
Okay. So for example, when you use cash, start to talk to the local businesses in a way that gives you energy. We get all these wonderful articles of people telling us about sort of the intimate connections and the relationships they make by talking. So a woman wrote in and she said, I went to my dry cleaner and I said, you know, I want to use cash. They said, oh, I would love it. You know, we lose $2,500 a month to credit card fees. And that's, you know, that can be the difference between a loss and a profit. And so they started talking and talking and talking, and she discovered how much the price of hangers had gone up. And she said, well, it drives me crazy to throw them out. If I bring them back, can you use them? They said, oh, God, yes. She said, I'll tell all my friends.
Wonderful.
So they tell all her friends, and she's getting everybody to bring back the hangers. And the next thing you know, they're building a field.
Awesome.
Right. And yeah. other things can happen.
Yeah.
But it comes from that relationship.
Exactly.
I used to have a wonderful preacher that I used to listen to his sermons. He said, intimacy, into me, see, right?
Yeah.
And when we get these stories about cash, we get all of these great stories about people creating connections and the fear breaking down and talking, and because they're getting into transaction mode. Doing transactions in a healthy way is always juicy. It's always fun. It's like, let's make a deal.
Yeah.
You know, let's make a deal for freedom.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would start, if I'm listening to this, I would start with, I want to stop CBDCs, what can I do? And go down the list. But don't get into auto mode. Get into
yes.
mode of, what can I do which is energizing for me? Because yeah. ultimately, we have another article that I would recommend called Coming Clean. If you clean out of your life anything that doesn't have integrity, it's amazing the energy you get. It's just,
yeah.
it's amazing. I started to do it in 1998. I was writing a check on JPMorgan Chase private banking. And my hand froze and I said, why am I banking at the bank that's doing all the mortgage fraud? And then I said to myself, I have to come clean.
Yeah.
It took me 2 years to get myself and all my companies out of sort of banks that I thought were participating in the corruption. And when I finally did, I realized, I'm a much happier person. You know, I write a check, I smile. I do banking, I smile. When I talk to the people at my bank, I like them.
Yeah.
It was a totally different energy.
See, that's awesome, because that's exactly what you're talking about. Meaning there's no one size fits all to medicine, and there's not even a one size fits all for this. The dry cleaner, that's the beauty of the, that's what I was saying, that the gift that we've been giving from this is understanding is our responsibility
right.
and our accountability. I have to check my four steps, they say in Israel, Dalet Almot. Your front door, you know, everybody's pointing. Everybody's got great ideas about how you should fix yourself, right? But
right.
if we all clean up our front doorstep, we are going to come together with much better quality of components.
So here's the little secret. If you go through everybody's income statement and balance sheet, we're giving our enemy energy.
Yes.
We're giving them our data. You talked a lot about that in the speech. It was very good. We're giving them our data. We're giving them our bank deposits. We're giving them our purchases. We're financing their companies. We're buying their stocks. We're buying their
yes.
bonds. You know, all yeah. we have to do is just find a way. You know, I call it turtling.
Yeah.
You know, turtle out of giving them energy. To me, one of the most powerful political tactics in the history of the world is shunning. Just shun them. Just, you know, I'll never forget, because I've been a summer intern at Goldman Sachs. And so as a Goldman Sachs alum, that's what they call you. You get all their research and they give you an email and all this kind of stuff. And during the financial crisis, I wrote them, I said, take me off your list. I don't want to be in your server. I don't want your stuff. I don't know what I want to know which thing. I don't. If I sit down next to one of you at a dinner party, I'm going to just get up and walk away and say, I don't want to know you. And if everybody did that, do you know what? It'd be unbelievable.
Right.
I saw when Congresswoman Nancy Mace did an interview of the Twitter executives during testimony. I don't know if you've seen this video. It's incredible. You could see their face, and they're beginning to realize that they are going to be held accountable, not in a court of law, but in the court of popular opinion with the people they meet and know. Everyone will
yes.
know their face, and everyone will know people died because they censored the information.
Yes.
And they are personally responsible.
Yes, that is so powerful.
Right. It was astonishing. One of the executives apparently has had to sell his house in San Francisco and move his family to a secret location because he doesn't feel safe. But,
yeah.
So, I don't, you know... So I think simply the process of us coming clean But then there are many other things you can do to say no. You know, I'm not afraid of you. No, I'm not going to do that. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we all love you, because best ran ever. Mm-hmm. You, in one of the worst lockdowns in the world, you got, you know, you broadcasted to the world, no, we are not, this is not acceptable, and we are not going along. It's what Bobby Kennedy always says. He says, nobody ever complied their way out of tyranny.
Yeah, really.
And that's what you, you know, you just said it loud, you broadcast it globally. No, I will not comply. That was a very courageous act.
Actually, I think you've just described it better than I was ever able to.
Really?
Yeah, because...
It just, you just
right.
did it.
It was out, absolutely.
No,
yeah.
No, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the scripture says, when all else fails, just stand.
Yeah,
so that was one of the great stands.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, but... So we said we would talk about being brave.
Yes.
So you know, there was no hesitation. There was no reluctance. There was no multi-track saying, well, maybe I shouldn't use that adjective. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So how do we find our courage?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Well, I believe... one of the things that keeps you most real is talking to God in your own words.
Right.
It's a beautiful process to, or whatever, or spirit, however you view something. I mean, I think we most recognize that there's something greater than us, some sort of energy, but that you connect to that you go into nature. You just have to get real.
Right.
Wherever, I don't know, go talk to a tree, but you have to unload. No?
I had a great pastor. I was taking first year Bible in Washington, and somebody said, I don't know how to pray. And she said, this is the co-pastor, she looked at her and she said, it was a young woman, she said, when you come home from work, do you call friends and tell them about your day? She said, yeah. I said, okay, so pick up the phone just and call Jesus and tell him about your day and talk to him.
Right.
And she was like, can I really do that? Yeah. It's not some formal special thing that has to, you just talk to him. And for me, part of it is I know I can never lose that connection. Do you know what I mean? I know you can't, you know. So there's one person who's got your back who you're not going to, and I shouldn't say person, but
there's one
loving intelligence that has your back that's always watching out for you. And, you know, my greatest fear is, and I don't, and well, let me step back. There's a wonderful preacher who says, the fear of the Lord is not a fear of the Lord's power, and it's, you know, it's going to hurt you and you have to be good because otherwise you're going to get punished. The fear of the Lord is, once you understand that love, the thought of losing it is the most terrifying thing there is.
Right.
So I always tell people, don't worry about the bad guys, because there's not enough money and time in the world to protect yourself against all the risk. Worry about staying in right relationship with the good guys, because they will protect you.
Exactly.
So, you know, yes, as a good financial person, I want you to have the right jurisdiction and be smart about your choice of jurisdiction. But the reality is, the best jurisdiction is where God asks you to serve your purpose. That's where you have to be.
Yes.
You know, so that's not smart in the material world, but in the spiritual world, that's the smart place, because that's where you'll be protected until it's time for you to leave, and then you'll leave.
Exactly.
Right. So,
and I was saying before, that's what real joy is. Everybody's in this endless search for what makes me happy. But real joy comes from knowing that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right. I just saw an interesting speech by Jim Carrey, the comedian and actor. Yeah. And he was talking about his dad wanted to be a comedian, and he was Canadian. To become a comedian, he would have to go to the United States, and he had a family, and he didn't feel he could do it. So he became a CPA, and he didn't enjoy it, but he got fired at the age of 51. And Jim said, what that taught me is, you can fail at doing something that you don't want to do, but it's the smart thing to do. So you might as well do your passion, mm-hmm. because, you know, then you'll fail up.
Yep.
Anyway, but I think that's why everybody, to me, has to come at this with the gift or the pathway that is theirs to contribute.
100%. It doesn't work any other way.
Right.
I mean, it's just, if you believe that, I mean, every single person, the whole idea of trying to fill someone else's, I don't know, the point is not everybody needs a show, you know, in like the library. Everybody needs to. I had this experience when I, well, I'm going to cut that out. Never mind.
So what was it? There was something you said in the speech that I wanted to bring out, and I just...
Scarier not acting than acting?
Well, you talked about being brave, but then you talked about...
courage to say yes to life.
Well, there were several things you talked about. One of the things you talked about, and these are my words, not yours, is, you know, if we go with the flow, there's no hope. Oh, I know what it was. You know... It was great the way you said it. It's like, don't believe what you do doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Right. And the reality is what each one of us does really matters tremendously, but it's also a ripple, and then another one does, and another one does. And I always quote, I had a dear friend who ran for governor of Tennessee, and he said, you know, you think a snowflake is powerless, but when enough of them get together, they can shut down New York City. So, but there is this dynamic in the field, and they do, I would say our enemies do everything they can to negate it.
Absolutely.
Right, and we need to know it's there, really, it matters.
But that's part of the whole manufacture of illusion. So the celebrity on TV is who I'm supposed to listen to, but it's forgetting, it's this idea that person, I don't see it as a hierarchy. It's exactly, even the book Turtles All the Way Down, you know? Mm-hmm. Every single thing. I mean, it's a very cliche, but it's completely true.
Right.
It's every, and I think that that's, you know, they asked me, how do you see evil today? That's exactly what it is. Doubt is saying, it doesn't matter. What I do doesn't matter. It's okay if I waste this whole day, you know, scrolling down. I mean, whatever it is. I don't take the risk. Right. Doesn't matter if I just keep using credit card. They already know. It's already a fait accompli. It's not.
Right.
It is not, because the only way any change has ever happened is when we get together. And it doesn't mean we need 80%. It's not up to us to figure out what the percentage. It's just up to us to act, because we know for sure what will happen if we don't.
Right, and there's another thing too, and that which comes back to the practical steps of what can I do. There is, you know, we live in a world which is hyper-materialist, and it tries to get us to forget the absolute value of character and righteousness, the reward in being righteous. And every time we compromise in a way that deteriorates our righteousness, or, you know, or we lose our love, or we lose our empathy, you know, the name of the game is to get you to not be human, because you choose it. You know, so you put somebody in a box and you get them to choose something inhuman. You can't take those steps because you're giving away something that can't be gotten back. And it's of immense value, including your soul. You know, so I believe our souls are immortal. Why would I trade something that is immortal for something that is finite?
Yep.
It's a stupid trade.
Absolutely.
I would never make that trade. Absolutely. So I think, but each person has to come to that aha moment when they realize, oh, I have nothing to lose.
Yeah. But that was the greatest lesson. You know, when you still had early days, you know, as in the recent past 3 years, of hoping a leader, hoping a court case would come to justice, or a leader, a managing manager, right, would step up. And we saw...
That's how they dead-end you, waiting for the leader.
Yeah, but then you saw...
Yeah.
I remember that realization was like... Because you wait to see that they'll know what they're doing, and then you realize they have no clue. And I remember saying to a group of activists in Jerusalem, you know, we are the leaders now.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we will get done whatever we get done. I can't do your job, you know?
Right. There was a great, I keep quoting this, there was a great interview that Aaron Bromovich, the environmentalist activist. Yeah. So when the mothers of Flint, Michigan got together with the mothers of East Palestine, Ohio, So two, a community's devastated by environmental misbehavior. And Aaron said, perfect. Don't wait for anybody.
Yeah.
That's how you lose all your time and resources, waiting for anybody. Nobody's going to come and help you. You got to help yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is how I told you, you know, a story of how I learned that early on. I believe that's how God saves you. He doesn't send a helicopter to come and rescue you. He saves you when you get it together.
Idea of what you're going to do. Right.
You say, can you show me some direction? And then you move it forward. And trial and error. And you're just going to have to get over getting it wrong sometimes, you know?
So you had a TV program or a show on CHDTV, and then you took a break, and now you're back. They're all very excited. You know, we got the whole... So we do financial... Carolyn Benson and I do Financial Rebellion. And I loved the Jerusalem Report. I used to listen to it. And so they're all excited that you're back. You're going to do it once a month because you want to really... You know, you want to do quality over quantity.
Go deep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So this is exciting because trying to get a word with integrity from Israel is special.
Yeah.
And, of course, Israel's in the eye of the storm. You're one of the...
Yeah.
You know, if we wanted to map out Mordor, you're definitely part on the circuit. I would say your leadership's on the circuit.
100%. I feel like it's this, you know, I think of the first aliens, you know, like this... parasite on I mean, I definitely went through some wow, this was not what the brochure offered moments, you know, several times throughout. And but I believe in the ingredients essentially, and I believe we've just got to get that parasite out. And
well,
definitely
so
in Israel.
You see this with Christianity. You know, a group of guys get together and say, okay, let's use religion to control, and they create something that's all designed for control, and that's the framework. And then these good-hearted people come in, and then they invent something that wasn't supposed to be part of the formula, right?
Yeah.
Right? It always happens.
But I do see that. I mean, it's clear. And also being here, which I recognize already, but, Israel is a heart of the... I mean, we do have an outsized role. And I think that it's very clear, though, that each country is leading in its own way.
Right.
And
each country counts. Every country that says no and turns.
Yes.
Makes a huge
But each
difference.
Person has a piece of the pie. Like I you know, like I said, you can't. I don't. To me, it seems awfully simple with integrity or light or however you see it in the center. And we are playing supporting roles. And I need help over here. And we all go over here.
Right.
And that's how we get out of this. That's what I think the beauty of what we can be creating is not only off-grid systems, and for sure take your kids out of school, but we got to connect.
Right.
We have to keep those supporting roles because we can't do it.
So I believe in creating as much economic resiliency as we can individually. So to me, creating individual economic resiliency is absolutely critical. But I also don't think there isn't a way. You know, my vision is I'm going to walk right into the center and turn it right in the center because... You can't go off and get away from this. That's number one. But number two, if we give up on the constitutions and the basic laws, all those laws have great empathy, great human rights, great, you know, they reflect an understanding that ancestors spent centuries building of how to achieve freedom in practical ways, you know, and integrate the spiritual with the practical and the political. You can't walk away from that. You walk away from that, you're not going to get it back.
I really appreciate you saying that because I think that I believe in the structure. I really appreciate the fact that, yeah, we've got a good system. We need to take off the parasites or whatever you want to call them and keep going. And I mean, the thing is that, it's like it's written in the Constitution, you know, liberty, you can't outsource it. We just got lazy. It says it everywhere. You get comfortable, you get lazy, and you think somebody else is going to do it for you.
Well, I think there are two things that need to be preserved, the constitutions and basic laws, but I also think there's great culture.
Yeah.
And that was related to those constitution and laws. And I think, you know, I have this wonderful ally, Dr. Farrell, who always says we have to save the culture. And that, I think, preserving a high culture is very, very important. I know when you first got here, you met with Terry Bidet and the folks from Forum for Democracy.
Yeah.
And they're very serious about that. They have the Renaissance Institute, and they're trying to really help preserve that high culture. Yeah. And I think that, you know, part of the relationships that we create with each other globally is to connect and help preserve each other's culture.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's our history. That's also our individual.
That's the
whole fun of it. That's the shapes and colors. This whole idea of this centralized, everybody's the same. Oh, you played with, I don't know, guns as a little girl, so then you're a boy. Like the whole idea of just chopping off all the things
that
make the blob.
It's turning everybody into
a blob. It's turning us all into a blob.
Yeah, we've all resigned from the blob here. So you can see we're not very blob.
No, we're just not.
So tell us a little bit about the Jerusalem Report and what you hope to do.
So the Jerusalem Report is...
Since I'm on the Jerusalem Report, I thought
I'd
ask.
Well, I really... I see it as a few different things. It's constantly dynamic, and I think we're growing. Uh-huh. And I understand that because so much came out of Israel,
Right. No, you are on the tip of the spear for transhumanism. You are on
the
tip of the
spear. Well, that's really... key, right. Because I actually think the whole idea of transhumanism, I mean, it's like I said, we got to follow the money, you want to know who's behind it, but you follow the kids
Children.
To understand
right.
where this is going, to understand why are they building a metaverse, why is this whole cut and paste bodies thing happening, why are we mutilating perfectly healthy children, you have to understand that, we're just a brief obstacle in the way, they're the point. So obviously Israel from the very beginning being the first to take this jab, which obviously shocked the whole world.
Right.
It shocked the whole world.
It was
because...
so brutal. Now, my personal experience, because some of the really special leaders in Israel during the lockdown come from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So, it's sort of, There was a group in Philadelphia of spoiled kids in the I lived in the city and spoiled rich kids in
yes.
the suburbs. We had various suburbs with rich kids, lots of different ethnic groups, but they all shared that spoiled thing.
Right.
Right. So I kind of think of this is not an Israeli problem. It's kind of a Philly problem.
Yes, but that I actually completely agree. Whether you want to call it, it's a class thing. It's not left right. Completely agree
it's
with
like
you.
It's like a total lack of empathy.
But so what happens, everybody was very clear to everyone very early on that Israel was we're canary in the coal mine. I mean, we just haven't. The Jews always have been. I can't say for sure I understand what our role is, but it's clear that we have this role.
You were the canary.
And that's
it was Israel first and then Australia.
Yeah.
Australia was shocked.
Whoa, I did not expect that out of Australia.
I did not.
Australia, or Canada.
Australia was always the lucky country. For 20 years, people have been leaving America to go to Canada so they would be safe when the tyranny would hit.
Wow. I thought that about New Zealand until...
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. Because New Zealand... Have you ever spent any time in New Zealand?
No, but I was hoping to.
They're so literate and so involved in politics and great communication between the leadership... Very responsible citizens, very involved. You could no more imagine that happening in New Zealand than it was totally shocking.
It was absolutely shocking.
Right.
I mean, it was shocking everywhere, but there definitely were a few countries who really stood out.
Right.
So, obviously, I particularly landed in the role because I was born in the States. And I think I got a lot of the beauty of being an American, like that ideology of freedom.
Right.
That Israelis who have a lot of good, but also they don't have that. It is, we're in trouble. Okay, take to safety, whatever it is. So I was able to bridge that divide between us and sort of speak out from it. But so anyway, the point is that Israel hasn't stopped in any. We're just going full speed ahead.
Five shots.
But that's, of course, that's already like yesterday's atrocity. We're already on to, we've got two BioNTech labs announced for construction.
Jesus.
Two. And the most recent one we've
had. The total population is how many people?
9 million.
That's a lot of plants for two people.
Nine million. And one in Jerusalem, which to me is like abomination of abomination.
Right.
Right? And so you've got two BioNTech plants being built. And then you have Bibi getting on He first mentioned it with Jordan Peterson, I guess, but we've seen already it's actually live, that all that swabbing was not just for behavior modification, but it was in order to begin genetic, a massive genetic database that he said proudly, first we'll let the other Israeli companies have it, and then we'll sell it to the highest bidder. I mean, what could go wrong, right? You know, so
it's
we
so
really
shocking.
Keep on running the front. We are running straight ahead with exactly, with so much of the changes that are taking place.
So that's a vision of the human being as a natural resource, like a barrel of oil.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And you're going to strip it into parts and sell
exactly.
it off.
Exactly. We are their pawns. We're their pawns. Like, I mean, but he sold us out. From the truth of the matter is, and I don't like to badmouth Israel because I do see an extraordinary abuse. No, he is not. But there are a lot of things that, and behaviors that were shocking. People to this day are like, did you guys really? Yes, they really did take the jab. They ran to it. It was the real jab, myocarditis, miscarriages, all of that stuff. The main Jerusalem hospital was at 300% capacity right as before I came over here.
I told you that documentary that I love. What's the name?
Yes. Avital Livni's vaccine testimonials,
right.
And she is just racking them up.
It's an incredible documentary, and you see how terrible it's been.
She's got also, I mean, all of the things that happened everywhere else in the world still
right.
are happening.
Right.
But like I've said, Israel just skipped the whole, would you mind to come and please, they were just, like Bibi said, you're going to all be vaccinated by the end of March.
And you said, no, I said, we aren't all going to
well,
be.
Well, I spent a lot of years looking at the gaping holes of vaccine safety, and I was like, how are you going to give a bunch of adults mRNA? We can talk. You can't pass it off like a little baby. We can talk. You're healthy one day. It's extraordinary what they've been able to do. But, of course, we have in Israel just dumpster fire after dumpster, or a security situation, or absolute chaos on the streets
right
now as we speak.
Right.
You know, so it's just keeping you on constant.
I wouldn't say that was chaos. I would say that was a really loud no.
Maybe it is. That is, I hope that's what it is. You know, I sort of haven't completely embraced it because I see such painful divide. It's so much of that divide and conquer happening right now. And also the protests, I've got so much of the media behind it. I mean, you saw that across the world, but also, you know, if you could have a million people in the streets in UK, but if the media didn't post it, nothing happened.
Right.
So you also have a huge media backing and slogans and t-shirts overnight.
Oh.
So it's also curious, well, how are we getting this kind of extraordinary protest? I mean, there's no doubt that it seems pretty short-sighted to make a minor majority that the executive power can rule over the Supreme Court. What happens when you have somebody be completely opposite?
It's a joke.
You know, I mean, obviously it's glaring, but again, it's that all of that mixed together.
It's
when you see the vitriol between us, I mean, what's worse than when we can't even, you know, work together as a country? And the truth of the matter is a lot of things that, you know, a lot of things that you could say about Israel, there really was a joy of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying we were, you know, holding hands and singing down like the bus, but like honestly,
there was something to be proud of.
Before the mask mandates, and we had some of the worst mask mandates outdoor, and it was brutal. I actually think globally some of the worst destruction between us was the casual violence.
Mm-hmm.
Around masks, but that and the Green Pass really, really, really damaged that at its core. You're a tiny little country, you depend on each other.
Well, but I think that was part of the goal is,
absolutely.
You know, in all these different countries or areas, you have this rich culture and you're tearing it down by causing people to betray each other.
Yeah.
So it's a massive bottom-up betrayal that tears the fabric.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. So, you know, for the Jerusalem report, I understand that I want to be as useful as I can for whatever my part. And so there's the practicality of saying, wow, you won't believe what's happening now.
Right.
Honestly, this genomic database, there have been a few wake-up calls for we are not in Kansas. And that's certainly one of the latest.
So I think part of the power is all of us working together, mapping out the control grid and where it's going and how it's getting there. And then sharing the tactics of how we hiccup it.
Yes.
And of course, you know, my one of my great confidences is in the story of Gideon. Gideon and his army come down with light and vibration. They don't have any weapons. And the Midianites are so distrustful of each other, they jump up in the dark and kill each other. And if you look at what's happening with the control grid just tactically, you have the, you know, us on the decentralization team, you know, fighting and taking actions to stop the centralizing. But then the centralizers are fighting for turf.
Right.
And I think the more we can bring transparency, and this is why I think this, you know, what you're, the Jerusalem report is going to be, you know, is going to continue to be very powerful, because you're seeing a piece which is very important and very unique. And if we can bring transparency to what's going on, you know, the Midianites are all stealing from each other. That's what they do.
Yes.
So I, you know, I think the more we can bring transparency and lower the secrecy, and get them to see that they're stealing from each other, a lot can break free.
I completely agree. I'm, you know, emphatically agree. And I think that it's kind of, I mean, that's like being a human is dichotomy. So I feel like we've got to be in the micro, we've got to be in the macro. So for me is, sure, I'm going to come and I'm going to tell you where I think we need to look at what's happening in Israel. But I also think that it's crucial that we have a bigger picture of where this is all going.
Right.
And that
so,
is also where
so
I want to bring it.
So we understand that the BIS has sovereign immunity, is doing all these shenanigans. But we also use, when I use cash, it messes them up.
Yeah.
Especially if I can get my neighbor to and this person, because, you know, if you see that video of Augustine Carson's from the BIS talking about, well, I'm completely going to draw you.
Yeah.
No, you won't, because I'm not, you know, and every one of us who does that. So it's, you know, it's you know, because we can look at the ocean, but appreciate and act in our pond.
Yeah.
And both are equally important.
Yes.
And what's, what I think is really powerful about the action in the pond, it shifts the field.
Yes.
There's something energetically happening when I use cash, or I wear my Make Cash Great Again. I'm going to send yours to you. and you know, when each one of us, you know, or you talk somebody out of, I'll never forget. So we made these COVID-19 forms. I don't know if you've ever seen them on our website. The first one was a family disclosure form where you talk somebody, you use this form like a financial planning form to talk somebody, to force them to do due diligence and informed consent, and then talk them out of it. And if you can't, force them to go get the insurance and other arrangements they need to make so that their death or adverse event will not bankrupt the family.
Wow.
It's called a family financial disclosure form. And it's all organizing around, you know, sort of slowing down and stopping your spouse from taking the mandates, or stopping your spouse from forcing your children to take the injections. Anyway, so then we did one for employers, and it forces the employer to do due diligence and informed consent, and then gets them to sign, yes, they know that they're asking you to do something that could kill you to keep your job, and they're happy with that, you know, which of course nobody's going to sign.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget, the first person who wrote back and said, you know, I took it and I walked in and I worked it with the employer, and they're not, they canceled the mandate.
Yes.
Right. Somebody in Australia wrote this fabulous letter to the head of Kohl's department store. They canceled the mandate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that kind of pushback really.
Yes. No, but that's also, I'm listening to you, and that makes sense, because what do other lawyers use to use a defense anywhere in the world?
Right.
A case that happened somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. As an example, this is how it should be done.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so, so I just think whether we're mapping or sharing tactics. Now, of course, the important thing is we have to stop the control grid.
Yes.
And the first thing is we have to get out of it individually. So that's coming clean. But then we're going to have to organize, and where the rubber is going to meet the road. So I've been working with different legislators around the country in the United States on different things the state legislature can do to bring sovereignty. I have no idea whether any of the local municipalities have any resources or clout at all in Israel, because I don't know Israel well. But Where this is going to come down is we're financing these guys with our taxes.
Yes.
And at some point, we're going to have to organize to, because our tax money is being used illegally. And under the law, for example, in the United States, under the Constitution, as a citizen, if I'm seeing my taxes being used in criminal ways, I'm responsible to do something about that. The question is how. So Carolyn Betts and I wrote a big wrap-up on taxation, focused mostly in the United States. But I've been talking with legislatures about actions they can take, and sort of the last and most difficult one is, okay, how do we organize escrows and other vehicles so we pay our taxes, but then we make sure the money can't be used illegally?
That is fantastic.
So I have a pile that I'm going to mail to you of all the books I'm trying to give you, but I don't want you to have to carry on the plane.
Yeah.
So we'll mail it. But I want you to take the taxation, even though it's focused on the U.S. You can, you can see, okay, what are the parts or things? Because we're going to have to organize and say, we're not going to let you spend our money illegally anymore.
Right. I mean, isn't that how it's supposed to be set up? The transparency?
Right.
I work for, you work for me. No, it's we've just got it all mixed up. It's just flipping. It's flipping the narrative. It's flipping the roles. It's taking back. It's demanding. And it doesn't even take that much. I actually was listening to this Rima Lebo. She's a powerhouse. And she was talking about, she was talking about they wanted to put, I don't know if it was fluoride, but it was something poisonous into baby food. And she went around speaking with all the different parties, and they what happened was ultimately they made an uproar and it didn't go in. I mean, that's the only way that it's ever worked.
Do you know how much money we could save in the United States if every county stopped putting fluoride in? It's a huge, one county in Florida stopped fluoride. They save $400,000 a year in the budget. Can you imagine
what
you could do with that money?
I happen to know a woman in Israel who almost, she's Dutch, as a matter of fact, and she almost single-handedly got them to take fluoride out of the water.
Wonderful.
And then within a year, they put the legislation back to allow it, but they haven't actually begun putting it back. So, it's a constant battle. I mean, we don't get to rest.
Well, this is why. So one of the things I'm very big on is mapping out financial ecosystems. And hopefully, as we are in cahoots, I can get you learning how to map out how the money works in Israel in a way that you can start to see real opportunities to bring transparency.
It's interesting because when I think of the States or I think of Europe, I feel like, okay, this sounds approachable. But in Israel, it feels overwhelming, but turtle through.
You start small. So, I used to propose this tactic. I'll give you a couple examples. But a group in Texas was doing this. It's very clever. They wanted to stop the school board on social policies, but they didn't argue social policies with them because they found that didn't work. Instead, they did an audit of their books and found a whole bunch of dirty stuff and were able to get rid of the people who were giving them trouble.
Right.
But they didn't attack. It's asymmetrical warfare. They dug into the money and found the weak link and then attacked through the weak link, not through the social stuff.
Right.
And so one of the reasons I encourage people to do the money is there's always or almost always opportunity that
right.
way.
Right.
Another was we had a bank in, it was a wonderful county in California, and they had a wonderful bank. And a portion of the bank's dividends went to the local community college. But everybody was banking at Citibank and I think Bank of America. I said, look, this is really simple. Create a fund. Everybody say, I'll put in this. And you don't have to create a legal thing. You just create an agreement among yourselves. It's like a covenant. And everybody buys stock in the local bank. Then you have a campaign and you agree all your profits, all your after-tax profits, you will donate to a purpose. Okay, and so you persuade all your neighbors to move all their bank deposits out of Citibank of America into this bank. Stock's going to go up because the profits will go up. You make a profit, and then you take the money in this community thing you want to finance. That's how you finance it.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Right.
Couldn't get them to do it. I was like, that's how the other guys do it. Well, somebody made a fortune short selling SVB, right, on the way down, right?
So, right.
Right. That's why I always say, you know, how can we make money turning it around? Because then we can turn it around. So,
see, that's like a, right.
Don't worry, you're going to love it.
I know. It's wonderful because it really is a, it's, well, it's a little bit, it's also growing up, but it's also expanding. I think it's time for everybody to sort of like take charge of all the aspects. Like you can't, you just can't outsource. So you have to.
Right.
Get but digging
you'll,
into
you'll
it.
You'll start to see real opportunity the more you map out how the money works.
Yeah.
And particularly where you can bring transparency. Because when I was first writing about the missing money, we would publish a headline about how much money had gone missing. And then these fights would break out. And finally, I realized somebody got a small bonus and realized they just helped them steal over $1 trillion. And now they want a bigger bonus. And now they're fighting, right?
Right.
Anyway. Okay, well. So you're going to be in Europe for another week or so?
Yeah.
Hopefully meeting with some other great allies, and then you're going back to Israel. Are you refreshed from having...
I am deeply moved by the open hearts that I've met. I'm moved at having been able to accomplish so much in even such a short time.
Yeah, you have.
You really know, I think that it's awesome. I think that it just, to me, it shows, you know, not just for a personal experience, but it shows that we're all looking for, that gives you incredible confirmation when you meet someone across county lines, you know, and they're thinking what you're thinking and they're holding what you're holding. And we all are looking to come together. So I actually feel incredibly encouraged, you know, because we were saying before, we know what not doing anything.
Right.
We know where that will get us.
Right.
You know, and so I want you to say something about turtle through, because the truth is I actually feel like you heard a lot of people talking about there's no time, we have to act.
Right. I heard that in 91.
Right.
And I've been turtling ever since.
Right.
And it's amazing what you can accomplish if you just... Now, I happen to believe, you know, to me this is a spiritual thing. And I know when God decides to show up, you know, there's all the time in the world when God just, you know, because he can change time.
Right.
So I just don't worry about that. I worry about doing what he asks me to do.
Right.
And, but the other thing is, I know it's not too late. I'm sure it's not too late. Mm-hmm. And, but I don't have to worry about that because I have one option which has 0% chance of working. And I have another pathway where there is a chance, and my job is to grow that chance. So if it's 1%, that's better than 0. If I can get it to 2%, that's great.
Yeah.
And you know, you've talked about the opportunity and joy in that.
Yes.
And you just have to take it one day at a time, and he will show up when he shows up.
Yeah.
And you just need to, you know. So I don't know. You know, there are times when I get, you know, the huge whack comes through. And I used to have a contact in this who had retired from the CIA. And he said, you know, when the whack comes through, you just got to lie and let it roll. Lie down and let it roll over and then get back up like a ball of doll. And, you know, so there are down times where, you know, you have to take that break and get over. But I don't know. To me... why be here unless you're going to do this?
Yeah.
What else is there to do? I mean, if you're going to stay on the planet, you know, build a human civilization. If you're not going to build a civilization, you know, why stay?
100%.
Right. So well, also, it all seems so simple. And when I talk to you, it's like, you understand how simple it is. I mean, what's the problem here?
I kind of wonder. I keep thinking, am I missing something? Because it still seems, I said that, you know, I feel like I've been giving variations on the same type of talk because I do still think it's same thing.
And you hear this in your speech. You understand the macro.
Yeah.
And you understand the micro.
Yeah.
They're trying to, you know, build a control grid that will give them complete control. We don't want that.
Yeah.
And so what is it I can do? And it reminds me, I used to have a wonderful colleague who worked for years to become a Buddhist. And she finally went to the ceremony. You know, she'd learned all the chants. She'd learned all this. She really studied hard. This is a big deal for her. And she came back from the ceremony, and I expected her to be on cloud nine. She looked freaked and depressed. I said, what happened? And she said, I just realized I'm personally responsible for world peace. And I find that overwhelming. You know, so part of it is appreciating, okay, here's the macro. I'm one of 8 billion people.
Yeah.
If I take this action, you know, here's how it can ripple through. And appreciating that, feeling good about it, and not worrying, I'm not going to take this action until the other 8 billion send me a guarantee that they will too.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Absolutely. Right. And the things that's come up with you and actually with my chiropractor, and it's coming up again and again, is about the vibrations. It's about raising the vibration. And I think that, and I, you know, we said it earlier, there is still joy. There is still beauty. It is imperative to recognize it and to voice
celebrate it.
You know? Yeah. Yes. Okay, let's not like pretend like we're, you know, I don't think that if you just turned off the phone, it would all go away.
Right.
You know, there's work to do.
Right.
But like, you know, I spent a lot of years kind of hoping that I would, you know, you do your work and then at the end of the day, then you're done. You get to kind of, you know, go off duty. So it's not like that. It's got to be a constant, like, but it's that's what Israelis do well. They know how to live in the moment. And it's just this moment, I've got it with you. This moment is a, you know, I get to sing, I get to dance, I'm taking it, you know, I'm going to, and I think that that is an art form to learn, you know? So I think that it's also bringing that into the daily, the joy. We don't have to wait until, are the bad guys gone yet? Are they done? Have they stopped? No. Like, if this is going to be, actually Flavio said that to me when we did that interview 2 years ago, he said, pace yourself, it's going to be a long haul.
Right.
Yeah, I spoiler, I didn't listen, but like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but that this is a life's work.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I call it turtling, because in 1991, I thought it was an emergency.
Yeah.
You know, it was like rush.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of moving without an appreciation of what it takes in terms of both personal coherence and building enough of a network and consensus to really shift the field. And so it took me many, many years to realize, oh, this is not an emergency. This is a journey.
Yes.
And you know, it's a journey that's going to have to be require extraordinary patience for us to gather.
Yeah.
And the pandemic made a huge difference, because many things which I said, which to me were perfectly obvious before the pandemic, I kept saying, if they steal all the money, they have to lower they're going to have to raise the retirement age and lower life expectancy. Don't you understand what this, I mean, this is going to end up with genocide, is what it's got to end up with. It's math.
Yeah.
And no one could understand. No one could. It was shocking to me. And so once the pandemic happened, everybody started to say, oh.
That's what you mean.
That's what you mean.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so, any lessons learned from your time in Europe?
I think that we're living it. I've said to you personally that I feel like, I think the scariest thing that's happened is we had the ground ripped. It was earthquake, you know, the ripped out. And the thing is, that's the tremendous gift, is the fact that it's terrifying, because we don't know the future. It's kind of hard to even plan for what's going to be. But that's an incredible gift to be open to the moment, and to be open to possibilities, and to be looking for them. I always think of Alice in Wonderland. You know that scene where she's walking on the path, and that the dog has the sweeping, and she's left with just that square. And that's God, you know, like all the other illusions. It's a gift. It's a gift to be rid of these illusions. My money's going to save me, my house, whatever it is, right? Like that's what's left. And that's terrifying. But it's awesome. It's an awesome place
Before
to have
close,
no
I have,
idea.
I have to tell you, one of my favorite, it's a very famous post up on Solari. It's called Walking by Seas. Do you know what a sea is?
No.
Okay. So I used to be, when I started in Hamilton Security, so I was on Wall Street, then I went to Washington, I was in the administration, then I started Hamilton. And I was one of those people that had a 10-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 1-year plan. I mean, everything was totally goaled out. I could tell you my top 3 goals. You know, everything was... Yeah. Because I came from a world where everybody planned for, you had 100-year plans. Yeah. So I was a planner. Anyway, so I go into a world where if I have a plan for the next hour, I'm lucky. Because things are changing so fast and they're moving so fast. And it's so, you know, it's the friction of war. It's unbelievable. So somebody told me this story, and that was one of the big conversions, going from a person with long plans to somebody who kind of had to rock and roll. Anyway, it was... they told me a story about a farmer. You know, we have these Vermont farmer stories in New England. So a city slicker's driving down the road in Vermont. He got lost, and he sees a farmer, and he pulls over to the side of the road, and he said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm going to Montpelier. Could you tell me how to get there?" And the farmer says, "Oh, yeah, no problem. Go down the road 3 C's, and then take a right, go 2 C's, take a left, and in a C or so, you'll be in town." And the city slicker said, "Well, thank you very much, but what's a C?" And the farmer says, "Oh, a C is when you can see as far as you can see. That's 1 C." So of the things I discovered is that I can't plan longer than a C, because beyond that, it's all going to change. By the time you finish the C, so I'm always saying to my team, look, we just described an amount of work that is as much as all of us can do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to plan beyond that, because by the time we finish this, it'll all have changed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're all learning to function. You know, we want to have some kind of, you know, we want to be agreement capable, but it's all just changing.
Yep. It's so dynamic. The world is so dynamic right now. But the truth is, it always is. In Judaism, you have, you know, a concept that God's creating the world anew every moment.
Really?
At every moment. At every moment. You're completely new. You're completely new. And that's an opportunity and another opportunity. Pick yourself back up. Whoops. And again.
What a great thing.
Yeah.
What's the word? Is there a word in Hebrew for it?
It's not a word. It's written in one of the books.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We got a few.
I have to find that.
Yeah. I will find it and send it to you.
How powerful.
God is creating. Well, the truth is, it's basic 5 books. But it's God is creating the new, and that's in the morning prayers. Every minute you have, and also the idea of a tzaddik, a saint, somebody who's absolutely refined, but they worked to get there. And it says a tzaddik falls 7 times and then gets up. Everybody's falling.
Right.
It's the getting yourself up that's the awesome part. No one starts off with, you know, with everything handed to them. Right. Not us. You know, you work, and that's what refines you. That's what makes you into.
So the thing I love about that is the you know, the pathway is one of constantly building mastery, and it's through continuous learning that you build. You know, you find the path, or you create the path with this continuous learning. And that's why the networks are so powerful.
Yes.
Because you can't possibly, it's too much stuff, you can't possibly.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to the doctors talk about their piece of the puzzle. I'm like, I could spend a lifetime trying to do this, and I couldn't touch them.
Yeah.
So it's really, that's why we get back to where we started.
Yeah.
Relationship.
Yes.
It starts with one person having a relationship with another person and building that relationship for trust.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's about quality, not quantity. And I think that's, nothing's clearer. You know, we get rid of all the baggage and we come with, I mean, we all have experienced that. We're just handpicking these people. Because, you know, all the pain and, woo, you're not who I thought, and 20-year friendships, 40-year friendships gone. But that's the beauty. We've, like, built people who are instantly like, okay, you're stuck with me now, you know? Like, and that's it's a tremendous gift.
So you're leaving here tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm going to miss you.
I know. I'm going to miss you, too.
And you're going to go to Switzerland.
Yes.
And you're going to have a wonderful time.
I am hoping for it to go and experience nature on a European scale and not not a little
Israel. Well, Switzerland is so, I don't know, there are many different parts of Switzerland and there are different kinds of beauty, but Switzerland is so beautiful. Have you been there before?
Oh, yes. Back in the day, I definitely did traveling around, but it was
Right.
long enough to be able to experience it all anew.
Right, right. It's beautiful. Anyway.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for
Thank you,
coming.
Catherine.
It was a pleasure. And you're coming back, right?
I am already looking at the calendar. No, really, genuinely.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's awesome. And it's like you said, I think we planted a lot of seeds, and I'm looking forward to it.
So I had a wonderful ally. I don't know if you, she was from the Washington area, so you remember Caroline Casey?
No.
And she used to say, "We're in cahoots."
Yeah, we are
We're in
definitely in
cahoots.
cahoots.
And we're willing. We're willing for things to work. So, okay, well, hug. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the, you have to say it too. Thank you for joining us on the Jerusalem Report and also the Solaria Report.
Yes, this is one of the great ones. This is in, and also for you, wherever you are, like there is no screen in the world that replaces looking at someone and holding their
Right.
hand and touching them. So get out there. Honestly, I don't care about cliche. They're cliches for a reason. We need to, we're the
Leave
lockdowns
the
taught us
blob.
that. Exactly.
Leave the blob.
Leave the blob.
You're not a member of a blob. You're not part of a
Exactly.
blob. Just go out and create a relationship.
Because that's what's going to see us through.
Right. Exactly.
Get your can, grow your garden,
Right.
get your cash, get your gold, for sure.
Money's not going to protect you. People are going to protect you.
And you actually, in one of your articles, the very first thing you talk about as far as resources is our time and
Right.
our centeredness, and I thought that was awesome that you put that there first.
Right. Okay.
All right, we're on it.
Thank you.